Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is November the 20th, 2018. It's a Tuesday. And just want to thank you all for listening to today's show, and glad to be back on air. Was off Friday and off yesterday, had a long weekend, had a bunch of things to do, a bunch of traveling and everything else. So just, I'm glad to be back here on air with you all and have a good, important show, I think, that we have today. So at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And let me just real quickly just get caught up here, and then we will definitely see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. And then before we get into today's show, we have to talk about you supporting Black Talk Radio Network. Everyone, please, if you could, support this network by giving some of your monetary energy by going to the website for this network, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt and then support the network. Very, very important that we do that, okay? So please do that. You can also support the network by being a part of this social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected, and you can support the network as well. For a membership of only $24 a year, that will get you access to the social media platform where you can actually promote yourself, promote your business, promote anything that you think that needs to have more public awareness, or just have more awareness about its overall, what it is. You can do that there within reason and have a more holistic relationship with a social media platform. So come on over to BTR Community. It's the only place where I will ever post anything. I don't do Fedbook. I don't do tweeting. I don't do any of those things. So please come on over to BTR Community. Supports the network. Also, man, now is the time for you really, really, really to engage in saving your overall, your labor by actually getting into real money, getting out of currency and getting into real money. You could do that at Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can engage in saving in real money. So that is very, very, very important for you to do that in today's world because of how things are going to transpire and what's happening just all over. And so just it'd be better for you to do that. That's the place that you want to save. So go over to Prosperity Mint, check out what's in inventory, then email info@prosperitymint.com. Let them know that you're a Tando Radio Show listener. Say Dave sent you, And then someone will get in contact with you and explain to you the overall buying process. All right, so let's get into, it's been a while since we were on air was on Thursday. And a lot has transpired since then. We're going to jump into today's show. Today's show is Catastrophic Loss Event in Stock Market is Near. That's today's show. Catastrophic Loss Event in Stock Market is Near. Stock market is not the economy, but many people have a lot of their overall savings in that overall platform. And we see some very, very hard times coming in that spot where it's going to have an effect. So check out, that's what today's show is going to be about. Excuse me. So, okay, first article that we're going to take a look at is from, this one got from Bloomberg. Banks, European banks are European banks are taking lending risk like it's 2007. European banks are taking lending risk like it's 2007. The ECB, the European Central Bank, said. Very, very, very important. We'll probably take a look at some of this in today's show. Next article from CNBC. Criminals, nothing but criminals news. U.S. crude rises 30 cents in choppy trade, settling at $56 as trade awaits OPEC's decision. And that's changing to that's gone down since that time. So check out that very significant. Next article, this one came from Bloomberg as well. And it says, there's an article from Bloomberg. Germany says 18 Khashoggi suspects barred from European travel. 18 Khashoggi's suspects are barred from European travel. Check out that article. Is one that's there. And I actually actually see the whole thing with Khashoggi, and so it's all going to be a part of the war paradigm and the breaking of relationships. It's all being set up. That's not going to be the main thing, but it's going to be one of the factors in many of things. It's actually one of the conditions that is going to bring the overall objective, which is World War III that will turn into GWN, Global Nuclear War I. So check out that article. Next article from Telegraph. Seems a lot of countries are preparing for martial law. What is Operation Temper? Celebrity figurehead, Prime Minister of England, Theresa May become the first Prime Minister to deploy up to 5,000 troops on the streets. And they're saying that's all in part of because of Brexit. But that's what you're going to start to see more of. You're going to see more military engagement globally. In places that you didn't think that you would ever see them. And so they're actually planning for martial law within that region. So check out that article. Next article comes from Miss Institute. Does China have enough gold to move towards hard currency? I say yes, absolutely yes. And when they do show that hand, that's going to have a dramatic, very, very, very dramatic effect on everyone here that's not prepared. And that dramatic effect will be extreme adversity beyond thought or even conception. So check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Ron Paul Institute. The only regime change that is needed is in Washington. So check out that article that Ron Paul put out. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter to me, it doesn't matter which overall regime is there, and why them that are there are actually fulfilling in a part of the overall conspiracy. They may not know it, but believe me, as you get in the overall higher echelons of it, there's no way in the world that they don't know. And they really, it's all a ploy, smoke and mirrors. So check out that article. Next article from Bloomberg. This one is from Ray Dalio of Bridgewater. Sees parallels to 1930s in the market now. Very, very true. We're going to actually take a look at some of this because Ray was spot on in this. So check out that article. Next article, this one comes from Reuters. EU to open EU to open Iran sanctions after foiled France-Denmark plot. EU is to open to Iranian sanctions after foiled France and Denmark plot. And this is from Reuters. European Union foreign ministers showed caution support on Monday for possible new sanctions on Iran and a shift of its policies after accusing Iran's attack plot in France and Denmark, diplomat says. Covert operations there. Watch that'll change as well. All of this is going to be to the overall building and the breaking of confidence, which is really going to be the purging of the U.S. and its ally. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from John Chapman's optionseller.com, investment loss recovery. We need to talk about this this whole thing that happened with option sellers and that, man, what happened with that overall ordeal and what they what was done there. Very, very significant, and things that you need to be aware of in that overall space, because but we'll talk about it later. Some huge, huge event that happened there, and it's really going to be a prelude to many of the things that's going to be transpiring here. Okay, so it was option selling. We'll talk about that, who they were and what's going on. You know, Morgan Stanley is actually come out and said that the U.S. Market is in a bear market, and that is going to have some real effects on things that we all need to know about. And there's a bunch of you know, debt defaults that are actually happening now. So, but we're going to take a look at some of those things for today's show, and I think it's definitely significant and important. So let me just really quickly want to catch up. Uh-oh, I may have messed up here. Yes, I did. Hold on 1 second, everyone. So we're definitely going to be taking a look at that. That's going to be once you. I don't know. You know, I heard this video from the hedge fund manager from Option Seller, and I don't even know if I ever even want to play it. It was so sick, just everything that was there. I got to think about if I want to. It was just that disturbing. It really shows how this market, through its ubiquitous fraud, really creates characters that are, you know, it's almost it's hard to believe that this is, you know, really, this is really capable that people will actually act this way. And so, but not surprised, has always shown itself to be that way throughout history. But in today's, but it's so bad because the blatantness in everything is, and to be able to see through the overall fraud is so apparent. But that's, I think that's going to be extremely important in the future, because what the CEO did, what this hedge fund manager did is going to be the same slogan, but I don't think that people will maybe even go as far as him. They'll just, you know, lose everything and run. So we're going to take a look at that, because I just think it's just too important to pass over. So let me just get squared away here. Okay, good. So we'll take a look at that. Next article. This one comes from the South China Morning Post. APEC summit ends without an agreement follow the U.S.-China clash. This was significant over the weekend, the clash that the U.S. and China had at the APEC. Very, very significant. It actually split countries, and it really is a tell of the war that is going to the confrontation that's going to spark a major war. So check out that. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. Next article from BCC. Best British criminals. Macron, Europe must prevent global crisis. Chaos. Macron, the celebrity figurehead president of France, said Europe must prevent a global chaos. And we'll take a look. Well, what he's, in my opinion, what he's basically saying is that that global chaos is going to start because of the U.S., and it actually shows the overall move away from the U.S. that Germany and France are engaging in. They're going to pull most of Europe with them, and ultimately all of Europe with them. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. Iran banks on thriving gold mines amidst U.S. sanctions, and they will do well. Next article, very important one. How the bubble in stocks and corporate bonds will burst. Very important article there. Next article from the South China Morning Post. You won't give in to China on Taiwan or the South Sea of China. That's the war, y'all. So check out that article. Next article from RT International. I saw this over the weekend. How do peaceful Democrats propose to end violence by threatening to nuke U.S. gun owners? So check out that article. And then from Sputnik News, Russian envoy to the U.N. calls for a probe into the coalition's airstrikes east of the Euphrates. That overall area is actually kicking back up, and I'm really... This is, I think, the first military confrontation between Russia and the U.S. will actually be, between Russia and the U.S., will actually be in Idlib, Syria, the Idlib province of Syria, which they are now, Syria is now engaging, and the U.S. said if they engage there, that there may be and that there will be direct U.S. Countermeasures to that. And then that's where Russia and the U.S. will actually have this first, first admitted military skirmish in decades, and it will actually be a part of the prelude to overall global wars. So check out that article. We'll try to keep you abreast of that as well. Next article from Press TV. Khashoggi's killing audio to turns Saudi Arabia's palace upside down. Khashoggi's killing audio to turn Saudi's palace upside down. So they released part of the murder part of the murder tapes of Jamal Khashoggi. And so check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Iranian gold rush seeks to insulate economy from the U.S. Definitely can see that. And the last article, this one comes from CNBC, Criminals, Nothing But Criminals. The Dow may drop another 2,000 points before stocks market selling is done. CNBC CFO survey. Very important. That's what's happening right now. I need to check it, take a look at where is, I think I closed it. I want to take a look at where GE is today. Last I checked over the weekend, it was below $8. It was like $7.83. And I think GE, as we talked last week, and their CEO really made no, pretty much said, if you really listen, that they can't give guidance, meaning they don't know where it's going. That's an admission to it. You risk, you invest in it at your own risk in GE. So that that is very significant because GE was a part of the bailout in 2008, and it is, in my opinion, not going to make it at all. So it's trading now. It's down today thus far. Let me get a look at it real quickly. Yep. Down below 780, right, 776 right now, and probably, but the lowest it's been today in the trading day is 753, and now it's at 776. So it's way below. I don't think that overall, and that's going, that stock is going to recover. It's it's 52-week high. Let me take a look. Okay, cool. So I don't think that one is going to recover, and that's going to harm many, many people. All right, so that's what's in the news. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And I will definitely say to you, today's show is really not telling, because one of the things that I always thought was that the market and the market makers are going to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. When we first started, the signals that there was going to be a major economic collapse of the purge of the U.S., of the U.S. losing a major military confrontation with the overall Eurasian countries, there weren't really direct articles to that effect. Now, they're so easy to find because so many people are starting to report on it. And that's what the system wants. It wants to maintain and be able to control the direction of things. And they want things to always go the way that's in their best interest at the overall, while exploiting your interests and the common people's interests. And so right now it's so easy to see, but still outside of, people that are aware of it or care about it, the majority of people, are very unaware about these type of things because they're engaging in things that won't tell them that type of thing or give them clues to that. And that's done for a lot of different reasons, and sometimes it's by an individual person's choice, which is absolutely theirs. But now, from when we first started here at Black Talk Radio Network, I would really have to search for indications that these things were happening to substantiate and validate what we were trying to get all of our listeners to prepare for. Now, it's so easy that now if I take some time off and I get away from things, there's a lot that unfolds. I don't have to go, before, if I took some time off, I could go back and research some things, just in a couple of places and then get some of the information. But now it's just the information is being bombarded to the point where it's so much information. It's a matter of at which now it's not a matter of 2 and 3 months worth of information. It's down to 2 days or a week of information. Soon it will be within the hours, and within the minutes, and within the hours and within the minutes. News cycle of things that's going on is a highly volatile time, and we are going to move into a highly volatile time, especially in the economic sense in arena, in the geopolitical sense in arena, where things are going to be happening and unfolding as you speak, or so to say, the old saying, as you speak. So just wanted to jump into some of the things that I wanted to bring to your light and to your attention, because I just thought that they were significant. And just another tell as to, hey, make sure you're getting ready, because like I said before, it was very difficult to find some articles about what was going on, but now they're everywhere. And that is a very telling position, because a lot of these institutions and these institutions and mainstream media, they want to come back to be able to say, see, we told you this was coming, and then now you didn't listen to us, or you was unaware. We've been reporting this, and this is how they're going to establish their credibility. We told you that this was coming. We reported this. We reported that. Now here's what you need to do. And that's going to give them credibility, for actually moving the overall crisis or whatever it is that the mainstream is going to be agendizing even stronger. So it's everywhere now. It's not really hard, but the most important thing is what are we going to do, and what are you going to do with that information? So with that being said, let me start with today's show. There's an article that wasn't an article. It's something that that was from. This is actually, I believe it's from an attorney's, let me see. Okay, this is, johnchapman.com, investment fraud, option investment loss recovery. And this is from the investor's watchdog. And it's in, this came out on Friday, November the 16th. Optionsellers.com, investment loss recovery. Okay, so here's a part of the article. Here it is. The attorneys at Chapman have been contacted by OptionSellers.com. Investors are prepared to file claims against OptionSellers.com and or INTLFC Stone if you lost money due to Option Sellers' reckless option trading strategy. Call us today. Gives you where it is for those individuals. Here's what they're saying. On November the 15th, 2018, OptionSellers.com notified its investors in an email entitled Catastrophic Loss Event. Huh. Name of today's show. This is where I got today's show from. Quote, catastrophic loss event that is not only lost it, that it not only lost all their money, but they would also owe money to INTFC Stone for margin calls. According to OptionSellers.com, they lost a substantial portion of the investor's asset due to a short call position in crude oil that, according to OptionSellers.com, was so fast and so intense that it overwhelmed all the risk measures in place, unquote. One more time, this is what Option Sellers said and sent to their client. Quote, it was so fast and intense that it overwhelmed all risk measures in place. It then informed investors that they that they have a debt balance in their accounts which they need to bring back to zero by paying ITFC Stone the difference. So in addition to trying to process the news, all their money is gone. They also have international NITFC Stone breathing down their necks, demanding they pay the money they owe for its margin call. And it's funny, on Thursday, in a couple of shows we've been doing about margin call and how this whole thing destroys people's livelihoods, their whole life savings. The market itself is Charles Ponzi in creation. It is really the whole market itself is nothing more than Charles Ponzi in a animated manipulative form. It's the embodiment of Ponzi. The article goes on. Well, it goes on. Claims against Option Sellers and its principal. Tampa-based Option Sellers touted itself as a premier highly experienced commodity option trading firm. If that was true, why were they in natural gas and taking a short position in natural gas? How you gonna take a short position in natural gas going into the winter? Because they've already lost and stole all of the overall funds and cash before. This was the plausible deniability as to this is what we did wrong. We made a mistake. All investments and all principles subject to market loss. Because, see, that overall statement gives plausible deniability and gives immunity to fraud. And there's nothing in this market more than the everything is based off of the ubiquitous fraud mentality. It's all fraud. It goes on. The firm's president and head trader, James, explained in a recent interview, our goal is to take an aggressive vehicle and manage it conservatively. Unfortunately, they did not trade options conservatively. It traded naked. It had naked positions rather than covered options, leaving the investors subject to unlimited exposure. This unlimited exposure is what caused it to lose all their money and more in the last few days. Thus, OptionSellers.com and its principal's negligence engaged in a risky trade strategy that was unsuitable for its clients and breach of its fiduciary duties to them by putting its interest ahead of its clients. And that's what's going to be the overall real mantra of this next economic crisis completion. Most of these countries they breached their fiduciary duties when they wrote the contract for the individuals to sign. They breached the overall fiduciary duties when they told people what they were going to be doing, and they were doing opposite. When they didn't engage and didn't inform the overall investors what their overall real intentions were. When they were squandering and actually not even sharing the overall real profits of what they were gaining. It was all of the fiduciary duties were breached. Because they always put the market themselves ahead of their client. And they destroy them. It's just a matter of when they're going to do it, at what time, who's going to be holding that overall position when the music stops. The option shall the teams include and gave everybody else. Recently, optionsellers.com recently went dark, shutting its website and Facebook and LinkedIn page, leaving us concerned about its ability to pay millions of dollars of claims that are about to be filed against the small commodity trading firm. And then it gives, you know, where you can do and call and to get assistance in that. And what happened was that they had a position. They had a naked short position, OPM, with other people's money. And then they sent it, people were asking, have I lost all my money in the account then? And their response was yes. Their response was yes. And, you know, I want to play this hedge fund manager. He actually did there was actually a YouTube video that was put out of this hedge fund manager talking to his so-called clients, and he read you a little something of what he said. This is what the CEO said. Unfortunately, it did not trade options conservatively. It naked traded rather than covered the options. Well, we read that part of it. And here's was one of the quotes that was from this guy. I truly invested your funds like we were family. I'm sorry this rogue wave capsized your boat. I wish you great luck and good health. You know, I listened to this overall YouTube video and I can't even play it because it's so telling, and it's so bold. Everything in it was just insincere. And I don't know, maybe I'll play it tomorrow, but I can't play it today because it's just that darn bad. And here's the situation that's really upon everyone that is unaware. For the individuals that are unaware, there is a very, very dangerous tsunami of economic turmoil that is about to hit everyone's financial position. When I say everyone, I mean everyone. It's even going to hit those individuals that have real money. But the overall tsunami of economic crisis that's going to hit those individuals with real money, they're going to have a different problem. Their options, because of when this actually destroys the land, this tsunami of economic crisis is going to propel individuals that have real money and real allodial title of assets, is going to propel them into a position of economic advantage like they never even imagined. while smothering and taking out everyone else. But this tsunami of economic crisis is going to be extremely, extremely real. Let's just real quickly, let me give you another article, and this one is from CNBC for today. And it says, here we go. And I don't think that the market is going to drop 2,000 points. That would be nice. It's going to, in my opinion, it's going to drop 30, 40, 50%, even 70%. Here's what CNBC, Criminals Nothing But Criminals, from Global CFO Council, this is what they had. Let me see if I want to play this. Let me just read this. The Dow may drop another 2,000 points before the stock market selling is done, CNBC CFO survey says. The Dow may drop to 23,000 before ever reaching above 27,000 again. So it's around 25. So they're saying it's going to go to 23,000. No way in the world. It's going to go much, much lower. According to just half of the CFOs on the CNBC Global Financial Council in a recent survey, that would represent 8% decline in the Dow from its current level. See, they want to give it small marginal so that it, so people don't get out. See, the this is a pump and dump. Those that know what's happening have already sold out of their position. And some of them are unwinding, and it goes down in a cascading effect. And in this cascading effect, some people are trying to hold the market as long as they can hold it to where it is and can maintain the ubiquitous fraud until they get out of their position. But somebody's going to get caught with the music stopping. The trade wars with China is the number one concern among the CFOs in the fourth quarter. The Dow Jones plunge isn't anywhere near done, at least not according to the chief financial officers at major corporations. More than half of the members of the CNBC Global FTO Council think the Dow Industrial Average will fall below 23,000, roughly 2,000 points from its current levels before the stock market barometer is even able to top the 2,700 levels. The 23,000 level would equal to another 8% climb among the Dow's groups of stocks before the selling stops. The Dow dropped by more than 400 points on Monday, and as of now, it is dropped more than that. But let me just stop there. Man, they're telling you. But if you believe what they're saying, it's going to go far below that, in my opinion. And I don't give financial advice or anything like that. But I am looking at this, and, you know, I don't mind saying that they're all those that give financial advice and everything else and to have their overall certificates and series, the certificates to say that they all lie and they all cheat and they all steal and they're all no good. And what I mean, when I say that, it's better to have that approach to them than it is to have blind faith in them. Because they are actually the system itself. This market is all fraudulent. They don't want you to know that. They don't want you to think that, but it is. Because it is not a market outside of manipulation. I can go over so much in manipulation that shows it. Don't need to do it. It's not that we need to prove that the overall market is fraudulent. The market needs to prove that it's not, and it can't. And it will never do the overall things to show that it is not fraudulent in its nature. It won't do those things because then it's not profitable. They can give you all the excuses, and they can read their charts from technicals and all of that other stuff. That's all the trick. The key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. And this is going to, in my opinion, is going to go much further than that, because the dynamics of the world, and because of the history of these overall markets and what they do, all of their books are cooked. All of those companies, those public companies, all of their books are cooked. Completely. So the article goes on. The CNBC Global CFO Council represents some of the largest public and private companies in the world, collectively managing nearly $5 trillion in market value across a wide variety of sectors. The survey conducted was from the 13th to the 19th of 2018, just last week, up until yesterday. So this is recent. What are they trying to get you? What are they trying to get people to do? They're actually trying to get people to stay in the market here. When actually, if your whole life savings is in the market, or anything that you can't, only thing you should have in the market is what you're willing to lose, what you can afford to lose. Outside of that, in today's world, is not luck that you'll need. It's an alternate plan. You're going to need an alternative, because that is going to be law. Just over 51% of the CEOs taking the survey have come to this pessimistic view of stocks, which represents a high in the CNBC quarterly FCO survey for 2018. When the stock market volatility first spiked in quarter one, 42% of the CEOs thought a drop to 23,000 was coming, but 31% of the CEOs were still of the mindset that a new record above 2,700 was more likely, and the market optimism increased by the third quarter to 50% of the CEOs believed 27,000 was possible. Now, with only a little more than 13% of the financial officers believing that the market will reach a new record before another major drop, what do you think will happen first? The CEO's outlook matched the overall trend in the market of volatility, with the first quarter and fourth quarter of the year triggering a whipsaw effect activity in stocks. The stocks have led through the bull market, and they're showing the different companies: Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, and now Alphabet. Well, all 20% off of their most recent highs on Monday. A bear market in the market leaders. The number one concern about the slowing economy, Goldman Sachs said on Monday, yesterday, in a report that the U.S. economy growth could be cut in half by the end of next year as the tax cuts wear off and raise rates. And worries about another round of tariffs against China set for January to go into a trade war are weighing on the corporate outlook. 35% of the CFOs surveyed in quarter four cited that trade as their biggest concern, making it the top issue in the fourth quarter. The CEOs also asked if their opinion of the major political figures in Washington and President Trump's hardline trade advisor had by far the lowest approval ratings among CEOs at 26% last week as the stock suffered another steep sell-off. The White House was sending mixed messages on trade, with celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump top economic advisor Larry Kudlow disavowing comments from the White House trade advisor, who last week lashed out at the Wall Street influence in China and U.S.-China trade negotiations in comments that helped weaken the stock market. The stock decline on Monday came after Sunday's speech by Vice President Mike Pence saying that there would be no end to the U.S. charges on $250 billion worth of Chinese goods unless China changed its ways. This is one of the articles we were going to take a look at as well. It's all set up, folks. Let me just stop here real quick. This is all completely set up. Completely set up. Here it is that China and Mike Pence, we played some celebrity figurehead Mike Pence stuff at the institute at the, oh shoot, I forgot the name of the institute, to come to me in a minute. What his overall, what he was talking about, he's basically talking about a trade war that's going to turn into a shooting war with China. And so this whole thing is going to, they're telling China, you're going to have to change your ways. Do you really think that China is going to change any of their ways? Do you think a overall nation has been in existence for centuries beyond the even thought of the United States is going to change their overall ways in a time when there are when they are the predominant economic power in the world? No, it's not going to happen. The article goes on. Consumer demand was the second biggest risk cited by the CFO at 24%, but it had been the number one concern for the CFOs in quarter three and fell off by a considerable percentage as the CEOs concerned about trade hit this higher quarterly mark in 2018. And let me just say this. If these numbers about what they were concerned about is true, we the people that were reading this would say that these individuals are either lying or they're really really foolish individuals. How in the world could you be in these positions and have the overall CFO position and have this opinion about it? How is it that you couldn't see way before? I'm not a CFO. You're not a CFO. You knew that this overall trade war, when it was a currency war with China, was going to lead into a trade war. Or maybe you were trading it so that you could get all that you could so that people wouldn't know about those things until it's too late. It seems to me they always tell you when it's too late. And that's purposely being done. It's purposely being done. And they're going to tell you that it's too late, that the U.S. economy is completely in a depression when it's too late. Don't use their guidance. Have your own discernment. Your overall financial livelihood may depend upon that. It goes on real quickly. It goes on. The percentage of CEOs citing central banks policy as their biggest concern increased slightly. What? Slightly? Boy, these people are going to get people. Don't let them get you. From 10% to 13%. But nearly 60% of the CEOs expect the Federal Reserve to raise rate again in December. Now, here's the problem with this. You're raising the rate on a debt that can't be paid. You're going to have a credit default crisis. And it's here. While the market volatility is clearly weighing on the CFOs and the political headlines continue to increase the uncertainties, the CFOs were still mostly positive on the global micro conditions in quarter four. With every region around the globe bearing a rating as stable, the United States in particular was one of the only ones that's described as improving, which is a tag the United States has received from the CEOs taking a survey for eight quarters in a row. They would have gave this same survey back before the overall 2008 crisis. They would have gave that same survey and same outlook before the Great Depression, because that's who they work for. But the outlook is not improving. is not even stable. The outlook on the U.S. is fracturing. It's crumbling. That's what you should be preparing for. So that article was from NBC with their overall, oh man, I didn't mean to close it, with their, from their CFO's surveys. And another thing that you need to be looking at, I definitely anticipate that this overall market, I think it'll slow down the overall, but then it's going to have a major, major crash where it's going to go down so fast that it'll be too late. You won't be able to unwind. It will go dark, just like option traders, option sellers. You won't be able to find them, and then your only question will be, did I lose everything in the account? And then they will have a response, yes. Yes. The hedge fund manager put it the best, a rogue wave. Because we live in a situation where the overall prevailing practice is felonious. Felonism. They engage in complete fraud, felony fraud against everyone in the market, and even those individuals that aren't in the market. The economy is a premier protractor and a mere practicer of felonism. And that's how they divide people so that they can continue to go on with the overall moral abatement and not being challenged at any time. So there is definitely a rogue wave, but it's not a rogue wave. It's really a rogue tsunami. And it is definitely going to catch many people by surprise, but many people it won't catch by surprise. And that's why we do this show, and we hope those individuals that it won't catch by surprise will be you that are preparing for what's coming. Because it definitely is a must prepare. We real quickly, let me something else real quickly. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give me a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. What should you be doing? That's really up to you. I know what I can only tell you, I won't give you any financial advice, but I'll tell you what I did. I have nothing in the way of the wave. Have nothing in the way of the tsunami. I've prepared for the tsunami to launch. That is what I think the best approach is, because one of the things that this market does is it always like to have a wealth transfer. Well, it will transfer wealth from, doesn't care who you are, doesn't care if you know or you don't know. It has wealth transfers as a design purpose. And this design purpose is to transfer and to actually acquire and control resources from individuals that only have ownership of it. It's really the asset forfeiture of fraud. And that's what this system really works off of. So it will always collapse the common person's economy because it brings a overall wealth transfer to those that control that overall collapse. This is why they're going to do it. This is why it gets done. And when you know that, then you could properly prepare yourself and position yourself to not to be as adversely affected. So please, that's the approach we need to take. Now, there's a couple of other articles that I definitely want to talk about with you. When we come back, talk about what happened with the U.S. and China, and talk about what Iran and other countries are doing. But there's an article that we definitely have to get into, how the bubbles in stock and corporate bonds will burst, so that you can hear some opinions about how that would happen, and then think about who you are and how much exposure you have to that. But even if you don't have direct exposure in it, you know, one of the things about when optionsellers.com went down was that they actually had, not only did everyone lose everything in their overall accounts, but then they had a old balance to that for the margin call. But there are going to be people that didn't even have an option seller's account, and that's going to say, all of a sudden they're going to say, wait a minute, I didn't have any option seller's account. I never had anything with them. No, but what you didn't know that they were tied into your overall account. And so when that overall trade, when that naked exposure got exposed, that overexposure went into your account, those accounts, those individuals that had no clue. They don't even know who option sellers is. But what they didn't know is that option sellers was in trade agreement with other hedge funds. I'm hoping that's not going to be the case, but the likelihood of that being the case is a good possibility. Similar to when MF Global went down. People that didn't even have any accounts in MF Global lost so much. And they were like, wait a minute. They didn't have any dealings with MF Global. See, that's the overall trade of fraud. See, these individuals trade the overall moral abatement among themselves, just like a slave's auction, because that's what the overall, where the overall auctions of slaves has gone. It's moved from its original conception of Wall Street to its still cementation in Wall Street. Wall Street actually sold bodies, people, traded people. And it was profitable for Wall Street to do that. Wall Street is still in existence because it's just revolutionized what was profitable in it. That profitability that they gained from selling slaves in lower Manhattan by building a wall was so profitable that they grew it into a global conglomerate of fraud, of selling bodies. No different. A different way, same outcome and same result. All right, you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Scotty, if you would, give me 2 minutes. More, and then we'll come back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. Get in on the conversation. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Shake up, baby. Shake up, baby.
Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number, and we will see you in queue, and we'll bring you up. So just taking a look at just so what we're going to do is I want to take a look at – one second here. To a good article – and setting up some of the things that's going on as the global economy starts to realign itself. And then that realignment is, as I said before, is, in my opinion, is going to be a tsunami of economic turmoil and repositioning that is going to adversely affect some and give a lot of options and capabilities to others. So there's a good article, and this one is from Real Investors investmentadvice.com. An article that they wrote was how the bubble in stocks and corporate bonds will burst, and this was from on Friday. And it says, as someone who has been warning heavily about dangerous bubbles in the U.S. corporate bond and stocks, people often ask me how and when I foresee these bubbles bursting. And here's what I wrote a few months ago. And I would say in this situation, those bubbles have already burst. See, most people, the system has got everyone so trained that they think that a collapse looks like the Great Depression. The Great Depression is happening right now. The only thing that is masking that is they've changed some of the ways in which to hide it, to see it. You don't see it because of, you know, government assistance. You don't see it because of government aid. You don't see it because of this and because of these different programs. But there's 52% of all children in this country is on some form of government means testing, which means that half the kids that you would see, more than half of the kids that you would see, are actually what they did with the overall soup lines and the bread lines is that they sent them to you. They sent the overall assistance to you so you wouldn't have to wait in line for it. And we look at things from a standpoint of the overall dramatical side of things, and we don't see the inner workings of things, of the appearance of what's really there. It's just like someone having a great, great illness. You may not see the illness, but it is still causing major, major harm to your overall physical well-being. You may feel great, may look great, and everything else. But in actuality, your body is infirmed. And the key to that is that you want to catch it as early as you possibly can before the damage is too great to where it's irreversible or irrevocable. It's no different. The collapse has already happened. It's just that the body and the appearance of the U.S., it looks healthy. But it's irrevocable. Can't reverse it. It's unsustainable. It's done. It's completely done. The article goes on. To put it simply, the U.S. corporate bond bubble will likely burst due to tightening monetary conditions. What's the tightening monetary conditions? The Fed rates, including rising interest rates. Loose monetary conditions are what created the corporate debt bubble in the first place. So the ending of those conditions will end with the corporate debt bubble. See, because what they're saying is that those overall loose conditions with interest rates caused the overall explosion in debt, corporate debt. Now the tightening of it is going to have the reverse of it. Falling corporate debt bond prices and higher corporate bond yields will cause stock buybacks to come into a screaming halt, which will also pop the stock market bubble, creating a downward spiral. And I want to just say this, the stock market is not the indication of the economy. Your overall living conditions and standards is. One second, everyone, I have to do something real quick. Give me one second. Sorry about that. I had a feeling that Pastor Keith was going to show up late. And so, good to see you, Pastor Keith. So the same conditions that created that overall environment for the corporate bonds to explode by the low interest rates, now they tighten them, is going to be the opposite effect. So the article goes on. The LQD Investment Share Group corporate bond says that it was about to break a 7-year support below the buyback end. The chart resonated with me because it echoed my warnings of a few months ago. I decided to recreate the chart with my own commentary on it. The 100 to 115 support zone is the key line in the sand to watch. If the LQD closes below this zone in a convincing manner, it would likely foreshadow an event a more powerful bond and stock market burst ahead. And it blew past it. It blew way past it. It went down to almost 110. Now, why is this all significant? And I'm going to, let me see if I can, want to play this so that you can hear some of this yourself. Let me set this up real quick. One sec. It's about a 4-minute video. Oops, one sec. Let me stop this. I want you all to hear this real quickly because it's better this way, because these are the things that you need to know. And it's not popular. It's not the Kansas City LA Rams game. Is not, you know, this game and that game. This is stuff that really does matter, that's sending a signal to you that would be beneficial for you to know. Okay? And some people will call it boring. But you know what, Pastor Keith?
What's that?
What I noticed about in history, the places that the system bore you the most gives its truest indication of what its intentions are, because they know that the general population will have no interest. And by hiding those things and making them boring and non-dramatic, and it requires an overall thinking about some things and requires some understanding of things, meaning that you have to change your overall, some of the things that you do, you know, like playing video games and things like that. You have to change that and have an interest there, Because when you have an interest there, you'll be able to discern the truth from deception. And it's very, very important. So I want everyone to take a, to listen to this real quick. Today is one of our boring shows because you really need to hear some of the things that's going on so you won't be as adversely affected. Here we go.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jesse Colombo. And in this presentation, I'm going to be discussing the U.S. corporate debt bubble that I believe is inflating at the moment. First, a bit about me. I'm an economic analyst and registered investment advisor at Houston-based Clarity Financial, and I write for its web publication, realinvestmentadvice.com. I warned about the 2008 global financial crisis as a university student, which then helped me to build a presence of over 150,000 followers on social media. I also write a column on Forbes.com about dangerous economic bubbles that are developing today and how they will cause another financial crisis. Though the soaring stock market has attracted the most attention, a dangerous bubble has also been forming in U.S. corporate debt. Since 2008, total outstanding non-financial corporate debt has increased by over $2.5 trillion, or 40%. U.S. corporate debt is now at an all-time high of over 45% of GDP, which is even worse than the levels reached during the dot-com and housing bubbles. The past three corporate debt booms resulted in recessions, which are the gray bars on this chart. This time won't be any different, unfortunately. Ultra-low interest rates are the main reason for the U.S. corporate debt bubble. As the chart shows, Moody's AAA-rated corporate bond yields hit record low levels after the 2008 financial crisis, thanks to the actions of the Federal Reserve. In an attempt to jumpstart the economy after the recession, the Fed cut interest rates to record low levels and pumped trillions of dollars worth of liquidity into the financial system and markets via their quantitative easing or QE programs. These programs sent bond prices soaring and yields plummeting. Ultra-low corporate bond yields have encouraged U.S. public corporations to borrow heavily in the bond market after the Great Recession. Corporations have been using their borrowed capital to boost their stock prices via share buybacks, dividend increases, and mergers and acquisitions instead of making the long-term business investments and expansions that were more common in the past. This chart shows how share buybacks and dividends surged after the Great Recession. The low interest rate environment and debt-fueled share buybacks helped the S&P 500 to rise by over 300% from its March 2009 low and more than 80% from its 2007 peak. U.S. corporations are using borrowed money to buy their own shares at very high valuations, which is basically throwing good money after bad. The cyclically adjusted price-to-earnings ratio, or CAPE, shows that the S&P 500 is even more overvalued than it was at major historic peaks, including 1929 before the stock market crash and Great Depression. I believe the corporate debt bubble and related stock market bubble will burst due to rising interest rates, which caused the bubble in the first place. Falling corporate bond prices and higher corporate bond yields will put an end to the stock buyback boom, which will also pop the stock market bubble, creating a downward spiral. Now I'm going to discuss how you can preserve your wealth in the coming crash. We at Clarity Financial LLC are registered.
Okay, so I wanted to stop there. And I wanted to play that for you all because in part and principle, I agree with his assessment. But one of the things he talked about was quantitative easing. We were talking about that in the first year on our here on Tando Radio Show. And then there's something that's significant with the QE. A lot of the QE was in MBSs, mortgage-backed securities. And those assets were actually monetized in MBSs, and that overall was sold into the market and held in the market. And guess what that really is? It is MBSs is mortgage-backed securities, meaning that they gave everybody's mortgage as a backing for the security of quantitative easing that was written. So the best way to put it, every single person's mortgage is the collateral. MBSs, mortgage-backed securities. Who was buying those securities and who was selling those securities? Did the overall mortgage holder sell that security? No. I mean, the mortgage payer, did they sell that security? No. Would they benefit from that security? Absolutely not. So the overall MBSs are part of the credit default swap. So that when this market goes down, guess what? Individuals around this country who have been paying their mortgage will get a margin call. Because it's a security. And this is what they're not telling you. So when this default starts to happen, it starts to cross-pollinate. How this directly affects is everyone with a mortgage will be directly affected. Oh, guess what? If you paid off your home. Guess what happens if you paid off your home?
Then it's due for forfeiture on the demand of the government.
Keith said then it's due for forfeiture under the demand of the government. They definitely could do that under the executive order that was set off, 13603.
Under
martial law, and it's all part of, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing that goes into effect, too. Most people think because they pay off their mortgage that they own their home free and clear. You still own your home. You don't control it. Everything that you own can be dutifully repossessed at any given time. Here's what happens. You don't pay your state tax on that bond. You don't pay your state tax. And then there it goes. Right? Here's the problem with that. How about this?
They make tax what they want it to be when they want it to be there.
And also, right, Keith said they set tax rate at whatever they need to do. Right. Here's the problem. When the municipal bonds go under and the U.S. bonds goes under, the state bonds go under, guess what happens? It's a margin call on that state tax, on that bond.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, just to try to clear up some confusion, perhaps, on my part, you had to look, okay, I know how people use words and have different definition of words, so I always had to be mindful of that, but ownership versus property rights. So, I probably told this story before a year ago or a couple of years ago. My late cousin that lived next door, he is my second cousin. Now his son lives next door, so, you know, still my cousin and whatnot. But his father had said to me before he passed away, had said, you know, we were talking about property taxes. We live in Gaston County. Gaston County taxes the property every year. You know, anybody who have mortgages or own a home or whatever you want to call it, every year the tax assessors go around the county assessing property values. That's what your taxes are based on. They can go up. They can go down. That money is used to pay for what? Well, some of the municipal services, if you're using them. For example, Gaston County Police, our property taxes go to pay the salary, mm-hmm. maintain the county jail, maintain the courthouse, maintain all of that type of stuff. All right, so that's the purpose of you paying your property taxes. Now, if we stop paying our property taxes, fall behind or whatever, and it gets so big and we can't pay it off, then the government can. And will seize your property. I read a story of it happening to an elderly black couple in North Carolina, not in my area, but in North Carolina, took their farm. I don't know people, you know, particularly black people. I know that story was kind of viral for a while in my circles, so y'all might have seen it. So if you don't pay your taxes, getting back to what my cousin was saying, he was like, you really don't own nothing. He was like, you don't own nothing. Because if you don't pay your taxes, they come to take the property. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So really, I can't say that my family are property owners, but we have property rights to this property. But as soon as we stop paying the taxes on it, the government will seize it and sell it to pay those back taxes. They do it all the time. But here's what was kind of confusing me. For example, it's a trailer that people who live in the South, y'all know what we call trailers. So there was a trailer that I was staying in, living in, buying when I got out the military. Had just starting a little small family, pull it up on some of the family land, right? So you still paying for that just like you paid. There's a mortgage. You got to pay for that. That's being paid off for decades. That's mine now. I can scrap it for metal if I want to. I can use it for storage, or I can release it out and rent it. But I have property rights to that. Nothing that happens on the stock market is going to affect that.
Right.
Or affect my property or whatnot. But I do hear what you're saying. And that did some of the things you were describing were what was described during the 2008 housing crisis, this criminal activity, with these bankers. So I was just looking for some clarification, but I'm gonna stop using ownership. You know, do you have property rights?
Property rights.
That's what it really is, because that go to what you were saying about not really owning something but controlling. You say it's better to control than to own. Well, really, like my cousin in this, the truth, none of us own nothing. As soon as we stop paying property taxes, hey, see how far it's gone. See how long you keep it.
Pastor said he didn't hear this one part.
What
Scotty was saying is that he has a trailer. And what Scotty said was absolutely right. And the emphasis, and I'm glad, Scott, because I never really thought of it that way. When Scotty said you have property rights to, you have property rights to, if you're paying your mortgage or if you paid off your mortgage, you really still just only have property rights. And Scotty hit the ball out the park with that, because that's so true. And that's how I'm going to identify it more, because it's more holistically true. But what Scotty was saying is that he's in a different situation, and he was absolutely right. He said that he has a trailer, okay, that's on some property and everything else. But he actually controls – he doesn't own the trailer. He actually controls the trailer. Here's the difference. Scotty can hook up a vehicle to that trailer and move it somewhere else. So he has a lordial title with that. Meaning it's under all of its benefits, all of its attributes, it directly represent him, because he can move that trailer to, he can hitch it to a vehicle and take it somewhere else, right? And then that will still provide for him a place to stay, or whomever or whatever. The thing with land is not the most purest form of money, Pastor Keith. And everyone is not the most purest form of money, because you can't put it in your pocket and take it with you. You can't hitch it to a trailer and take it with you. You can't remove its intrinsic value to go along with you. Land is what? Landlocked. So that's why the system prefers controlling that resource, because what they can do, if you don't pay your property taxes, you don't pay your mortgage, if you refuse to leave and invoke your overall property rights, there will be a gun that will enforce their control. You see what I'm saying? And what Scotty laid out is the best example. Remember when we first started, I said that unless you have a lordial title to this, then it's different. So even with your property that you paid off, you paid off your mortgage, and now you have just the overall bond that you have to pay your state tax on and everything else. Well, what happens is something, is a word that everyone needs to get familiar with. It's called austerity measures. Austerity measures means this, that you're entitled to something that you've already paid for, but the overall government reneges on giving you what you're entitled to. And no matter what it is, from an excuse or whatever, you still already paid into it, and you won't benefit from it. It's known as austerity. There was no such thing as austerity before that word was up. They had to make up a new word, austerity measures. And what to piggyback on what Scotty was saying, this is what I foresee. Austerity measures is going to be so bad that property rights and property obligations are going to be so steep that people will not be able to maintain the overall property even though they paid it off. And here's the thing. Generally, property being behind on your property tax, when you're behind on your property tax, it takes, after so long, it could take a couple of years before they actually move to repossess it, right? But that doesn't mean that they can't do it right away off the first non-payment. And then not only that, they could reassess. They say that they would never do that. No, we can't do that. Yeah, that's what they tell you, but then they come out with a new way why they have to do it, and it's called austerity measures, and it's called a unforeseen economic collapse or calamity. They can change the rules at any time because they change the rules because those rules give you rights. It doesn't give you absolute and primary rights, unalienable rights. An unalienable right is not anything that man can give you. It comes from the great creator itself. Some of the unalienable rights that you do have is this, is that when you breathe, the air helps your body turn food into energy for you. That's an unalienable right that you have. In order for that to be impeded, someone has to suffocate you. Okay? So the significance of this is that they're going to change the rules.
Hey, Dave, real quick before you move on, because now you made me think of some environmental issues in a different right way. You saying that breathing is an inalienable right, that you should have a right to clean air. And that's what a lot of these young people are saying, and people been saying it for a long time. I mean, some of these towns, yep, man, I've read about some oil refinery plants in town where the whole town got sick, man. Or you got Cancer Row in Louisiana, I believe it's in Louisiana, where all these chemical plants manufacturing or waste dumps and people getting sick. I mean, you could say that's a violation of their inalienable right. I would say a plant doesn't have a right to pollute the air quality of the community.
Yep, absolutely right. It's a crime against humanity because it's against the spirit of the law. Keith wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, a couple of things. One was about the property rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think of a couple of things, a couple of loopholes. And they don't even have to be. One of them is what you're seeing happening in Puerto Rico right now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas they're coming in, they're taking all that land and that property. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just one. Another one would be eminent domain.
Eminent domain, right.
Right? And the third one would be with them simply coming in and raising the taxes on that area so high that you simply can't afford it.
Right.
So there was those. But the other thing that
commonly referred to as gentrification.
Yes, absolutely. Or another one that they've done in the black community so much, mm-hmm, what's called redlining.
Yep, redlining and gentrification. Yes.
You know, but let's go back to the other ones that you talked about and unalienable rights. There was a couple of things that were on the table that they were trying to force. What was that major company that went out and took so much of the wealth with them out of Houston?
Enron.
Enron. Okay. So Enron was a company that they planned on doing a couple of things with.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to do these through a wealth distribution. And the reason why I bring those up is because they brought up both the things that you just got done talking about. The first one was going to be through energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were going to do is they're going to assign the whole world and every country so many energy points.
Hold on, Keith. We got to get ready to go to a commercial point.
A commercial break. We're going to hold that point because it's important what you're about to say. I'm going to even write it down for you because I know... just to help my brother out. Listen, everyone, getting ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
podcast and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And today's show is very important. We'll probably have a part two because there's some things we definitely need to read to you all. As the catastrophic loss event in the stock market is near, I would actually would change that to it's here. Tomorrow would be part two. It's here. So Keith wanted to chime in on some things he's talking about, Enron, with the redistributing wealth via energy. Go ahead, Keith.
So it goes back to exactly.
Did I help you get that jog your memory back to what you
it did? Okay, because, okay, because truthfully, I have forgotten.
Yeah, I know. Well, go ahead, Keith.
So through this wealth redistribution, their first plan, and the reason why he brings this up was plan two, was a redistribution based on energy. And they're going to assign every country so many energy zones. Now, the United States, of course, spends way more than
consumes
labor. Way more energy than the rest of the world almost in energy.
Combined. Almost combined.
Yes. So what they're going to do was once they burned up their energy points, guess what they'd have to do?
Pay for it.
They'd have to pay for other people's energy points, and they sell them to us.
So it's like a salary cap.
But you can go past that salary, but you'd have to pay for it.
Right.
So you'd have to go to another country that, of course, mm-hmm. you know, you look at all these undeveloped countries, of course, they're not burning up their energy, so they sell them to the United States. They buy them.
Right.
And there you will have a global redistribution of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was one. But the other one, what was so interesting, which brings it up, was actually air.
Mm-hmm.
The one that you talked about. And they were going to do this exact same way, except they were going to do it through pollution.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of pollution you had in your air. And if you had this much pollution in your air, you have to pay this amount of penalties
mm-hmm.
towards the pollution in
mm-hmm.
your air.
Mm-hmm.
So even your unalienable rights, mm-hmm. if you leave it to man,
mm-hmm.
he'll find to take those two. He'll find a way to take those off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They will.
They will bring them under the letter of the law. They will bring them under the letter of the law. Right, Keith. So true. And hold on to that. We're going to talk about that later on because I got a whole different thing with that. You know, it's so funny with energy, the system is stealing and harvesting energy to monetize it, which means it's a theft. When you take oil out of the ground, which oil is the lifeblood of this planet, just like you have your blood, I have mine, and everyone listening, you have your overall blood. That's what oil is. That's what it provides for the living earth. The earth is a living being. If it wasn't a living being, trees and grass and things couldn't grow out of it, right? Life can only begot life. So oil, when you take oil, it's just like someone taking your blood and using your blood and monetizing it and not paying it from, but then forcefully taking it from you because the earth does not defend itself from someone drilling into it. There is an expected respect that you would have for another living entity not to encroach on their overall ability to live. That what happens when you do that, there's a spirit of the law that goes into action against you. And that spirit of the law that goes into the action against you is this. You may think that you're getting away with it, but it's actually going to get you. And the universe is long-suffering because it's eternal. The universe is long-suffering because it's eternal. It never ends. So it's just a matter of time.
The eternal worth is it infinite?
Infinite.
Okay.
Infinite is more like it. And I would say eternal. Reason being is that the great creator made it. If you really think about it, everything that the great creator makes is eternal. But how you spend that eternity is a choice of yours. It really is. Because you're going to live forever. It's just in, you know, different forms and fashion. But how that act is up to you. So we got to talk about that, because that's very, 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 very important in today's world. But back to what we were speaking about with with this corporate bond. And so when the austerity measures kick in, the market is going to, when municipal bonds start to implode, when these municipal bonds start to implode, the municipal debt starts to implode, that's going to weigh on the states. And then the states in that area is also going to weigh on the who? The taxpayers. The first thing that they're going to go to is they're going to go to the property owners. And they're going to say, guess what? Property tax is going to, you know, they send your property tax up for a couple of things. They say that they built a road and there's new this and new that. And what actually was supposed to happen is that they're only supposed to tax you for what they spend and then no longer tax you any longer. But what does taxation really happen? They build a bridge and tax you for that bridge way beyond what they spent to build it, and they actually use it as a revenue generator for everything. Where is that generation of revenue going that's profit now? It's not going back into the bridge because all the bridges are collapsing. Where is it going? That energy is being moved into somebody else's control and somebody else's profit. Profit. No, Keith. No. You can't. So, but no, Keith wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, I was just going to paint a picture of what you're talking about. If you look at the federal income tax, that was simply a temporary tax to pay for World War II.
Exactly.
And then it was supposed to expire.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at all these toll road taxes, they all come in, and they're all supposed to be temporary taxes to pay for that highway that mm-hmm. the toll road is on.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, once the government gets something from you, they ain't giving it back.
No, because they create things always to take from you. And I'm going to give you an example of that. And these were I forgot the overall real title of I had to come to me. There's where you can only pay the taxes is only supposed to be meant for what was spent.
Right.
And it'd come to me. I know it. It'd come to me in a minute. But that's what happened. So the bridges and roads continue to fall apart. And then when they do repair them, right, they really don't repair them at all. And then if they do have to do a massive repair, what do? They'll put another bond on the overall ballot to pay for that, which is actually there's taxation without representation. Most people think that taxation without representation means that you got to have somebody. No. When it's fraudulent, you're not being represented in that taxation because the overall revenue is not going to which the intention of the taxpayer is, so you're not being represented for where it's going.
And they'll let you know that on these bonds, Dave.
Yeah, they will.
Because when you vote on a bond, they say you're voting on a bond for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
But they are under no – if that bond passes and they tax you for that bond, there is no obligation on their behalf
to pay for
whatever that bond was for.
Sure. And this is all the fraud, the ubiquitous fraud that's in the system. So within the measures, when the states, when the municipal bonds blow up, because the municipal bonds is going to blow up just like the corporate bonds. Sovereign wealth fund bonds are is a bigger exposure to that than there is to corporate bonds. So this whole thing, when it implodes, so now you've seen it, and everyone here has seen it. They'll say that they're building a new school in your area, so the taxes is going up. The taxes don't ever go back down. Taxes never, ever go back to being zero. You know why? Because taxation is really the overall way to invoke enslavement. It's the overall sharecropping mentality. You work somewhere, and everything that you buy to live is from the overall employer that you have. So that every time you work, you'll never ever be able to get ahead to establish any real meaningful measures of wealth to have control. Because you'll always be in what? A deficit.
A sharecropper.
Yes, a sharecropper. You'll always be in deficit. And this is what they're doing economically. It's not anything new. It's not the world order, a new world order. It's the same world order that we need to really look at and break. The other case in point, you said something about eminent domain. Oh, but before we get there, this is what I see happening. The system will...
Also, while you hold that thought.
No. I'm the host. You're the co-host. You don't get to tell me to hold a thought. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead, Keith, because I know it's fleeting. I know it's fleeting, which and I just said I'm going to come back to that.
And I thought it was interesting because one of the things that we have to talk about eminent domain was, I don't know if you remember that a few years ago, but several states passed that eminent domain didn't have to be eminent domain as we know it.
At all, it
could be for the advancement of companies.
But that's where I was going to go. You're stealing my thunder now.
All right, I apologize.
No, that's all right. I'm glad you did. But that's where we're going.
That's where we're, I'm going to go back with eminent domain. Exactly right, Keith. And so the thing that I see happening is that these bonds are going to default. And when they default, they're going to require that the overall... See, a bond is nothing more than a debt. That's what a bond is. It's a debt. It's a letter of debt. Once these bonds go under, guess who's going to have the overall burden of the default of those debts? The ones that hold the bond. The states don't hold the bonds. Municipal bonds aren't held with the city. The cities and states don't exist. They're personships. They're not individual people, living people. They're just a person. So what happened is that the person defaults and the people pay for the default of the person. People pay for persons. So then now what happens is that fault comes down to everyone, and then now all of a sudden your fire department doesn't have four engines. It's got one engine. It doesn't have 24 firemen. It has two firemen and four volunteer firemen. And one of the volunteer firemen is always on vacation or always somewhere else, and when the fire comes, he in another state or she in another state. Well, we have no age discrimination here, Pastor Keith. So a volunteer fireman at 80 years old is a very, very noble individual.
Absolutely.
And so that's why, because I admire your volunteer work at your 88. So, but your overall electric company and your water company and your water itself now has to be corporatized, privatized. And when it's privatized, guess what they're going to do with it? The fees are going to go back up, and the overall quality of it is going to go even down. But there's so many ways that this actually cross-pollinates into a complete economic disaster. And when that state and that county and that city fail their bonds, they're going to go to the property holders and say, guess what? They're not going to say that you defaulted. They're never going to say that they defaulted and that burden of default is on you. Here's what they're going to say. Austerity measures has kicked in. You need to pay more and get less. You know, when you go to this grocery store today and you go look at a can of soda or a bottle of soda, look at the anemic status that these cans are in compared to when you were growing up, Keith. When you grew up, the cans were fat. They weren't even cans. They were known as rolling barrels. Keith used to drink from rolling barrels of Coca-Cola. Then we had cans. Now we have this whole can of soda that is it probably can fit between your two fingers.
You can crush it with your forehead.
Oh, well, you could crush it with your index and your thumb. Now, you seen how small? See, that's what's happened. That's austerity. That's usury. And the states and cities are going to come back and say, hey, we need to lay off austerity measures that hit you. And then they're going to say austerity measures that hit your bank account.
Let me give it that thing.
Wait, real quick. And then what that does is that the property taxes is going to go way up and no one is going to be able to pay. And guess what? Property tax won't be a yearly thing. They'll have them down to a monthly thing. They say your monthly property tax bill is here, and you don't pay within that month, then they guess what? Goes into receivership. They're going to change everything. This is why you have to be thoroughly, thoroughly prepared. You have to understand the difference between currency and money and the overall power of that, what that really, really means. Very important. But Keith wanted to chime in. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, it's just to piggyback on what you were saying, but also on a different level that we're starting to see, which is even more catastrophic. And how you see that is today's pensions. Now, if you look at the pensions, that money, if they would have simply done with that money,
cash
that they were supposed to do, there's not a reason in the world for these pensions to be going bankrupt.
No. I'm going to tell you, this is why the pensions are
going bankrupt. Here's the real reason why the pensions is going bankrupt. Because it's white-collar crime.
Absolutely.
Here's the white-collar crime in pensions. Pay me now, and I promise to pay you later. Every pension is a promissory note. Every pension is currency. With a promise to pay, they say, you pay me now, every day you work, every two-week interval, every monthly interval, you pay every month, every week, every 2 weeks right away. But we promise to have this golden parachute for you, and the golden parachute is going to be fool's gold, waiting for you 20, 30 years down the line. Never mind that the overall, you can defer your payment until later on, your tax payment to later on. Where's taxes going to be later, higher or lower?
Higher.
So when you defer it, it sounds good, but it's the worst thing for you. Here's why the pensions is fraudulent. If the pensions were real, here's what would happen. You would pay into a pension, and they would have to pay you out daily, weekly, biweekly, or monthly, just like you pay into it. Because then now you can take the overall profits away and out of the system, and you can put it into something else immediately. And if it's a good exchange where you can say, yeah, I like that exchange, I'm going to stay with you. I'll stay with you for another week. I'll stay with you for another 2 weeks. Because of the then that will mean meaningful competition. And guess what? The overall margins of profitability for the overall holder would be greater. But they don't do that. They say, pay me now, and I promise to pay you later. Tell me that's not a swindler, a con artist. Is that not a con artist language? Give me now, and I promise to pay you later. How much later? 20 years later. Here's the chart. Huh?
And you brought up what taxes is going to be, right? What taxes would be 20 years later.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't bring up the aspect of present value of money either.
Present value of cash. Right.
A cash.
Right. Right. And that's all being debased as well. So over that overall life, and Keith, you made a great point, over that overall life of the payment into the pension, you're losing purchasing power on that overall, on your labor, through inflation. See, slavery is about taxation. And it's not taxation where they're charging you a bill. It's taxation where they're taking your energy and monetizing it for their benefit, absent of yours. It's Wall Street. Wall Street still sells bodies on auction daily. Listen, we're getting ready to get out of here. Just want to say thank you for listening to Tando Radio Show. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new country.